Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agent Carter fans! Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Agent Carter After Show. I'm your host, Zach Wilson, and we're here to talk about a little song and dance and
The Edge of Mystery.
Oh, gosh. Guys, we just watched 2 hours of Agent Carter again the second week. So much to talk about. It was a movie. We just watched a movie.
Yeah, basically. I mean, like, not nowadays, because most movies are, like, at least 2.5 hours
long. 2.5 hours, you know, which is weird.
Either way.
We watched a 1970s movie.
Yes. Guys, I'm your host, Zach Wilson.
Taxi
Thank you
driver.
So much for joining us. We are so excited to talk about these episodes. Make sure you subscribe to AfterBuzz TV on YouTube, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, all those places. You can follow us on Twitter. Support us. Subscribe. Link. Like it. Thumbs up. All the things.
Thumbs up.
All the
on
things.
The thing, all of the things.
Guys,
but stars on iTunes.
It's
a little heart.
But it's time to talk about our good friend Peggy Carter.
Our girl.
So you can tweet at me personally throughout the week and throughout the show. I've got Twitter open. I got the chat roll. That Zach Wilson. Now let me introduce my panel, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
I'm Emma. Are you going to introduce? You said let me introduce
myself. Well, I figured it would go down the line.
Perfect. Great. I'll introduce myself. I'm Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife.
Hi, I'm Jesse Klein, introducing myself. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
And due to the calls from the chat roll, I will put the hat on.
I was about
Yay!
To say
Yay!
It's really hot in here, you guys. It's really hot.
He suffers for
weird.
You guys.
Mm. Yeah. All right. So let's dive into this one. Oh, boy.
The Edge of Mystery, doesn't it just sound like one of those old-timey radio,
yeah,
like, radio
sure.
dramas? Join Agent Carter in the Edge of Mystery.
Yeah.
I would listen. So I would listen to that radio program.
I absolutely would. Yeah.
One of my first notes I took on this entire thing was just, so many sads.
So many sads.
There's so many emotions in these two episodes. Because you go from, like, oh my god, no! To, oh my god, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in front of my eyes.
Right.
I mean, everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And trust me, we will get into that in a little bit. To just like, what is going on?
Yeah, no, serious mood swings watching this show.
No, I totally agree with you. Because it's true, there were so many emotional... I mean, it started on such an emotional note with the flashback to what was literally happening with Jarvis during some scenes we saw in the first season, and he's having
back
this conversation.
Back when Anna was still off screen.
Exactly, when we didn't see Anna on screen, and so we saw, like, what was going on with them, and this sort of double life he was kind of, he was, like, basically pretending to have this really normal, kind of lovely
kind
life.
Of a lie by omission, as she kind of points out later on, where he's not... he's not lying, but he's being honest.
Right,
but
he's
not telling
the
truth.
Yes. You're not being truthful, but I am being honest.
Yes. Ah, which, by the way, no one should ever use that.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
Just
guys.
Honest across the board. That's honestly, I have to admit, the men on this show not so good with the honesty.
That being said,
well, he lives.
What?
He's a, He spends a lot of time with Howard Stark.
This is true.
This is true.
By those standards, he's about the most honest person ever.
Well, and like, for the sake of decency, he should probably omit things.
Yes.
Because I imagine Howard Stark, he lives quite a life.
You know, that's true. I actually forgive Jarvis a little bit now that I think about that.
But I do want to say, wonderful, wonderful performances. This is definitely the most... emotional performance we've seen from a lot of the actors in this season, in these two episodes. And absolutely just stellar job this time around. It made me feel feelings. And anytime a show does that, I'm like, good work, show.
Yeah. Why don't we start off talking about, not that we haven't started, Whitney Frost and Jason Wilkes.
So interesting.
Because I feel like I need to talk about all the craziness, all the crazy Marvel science stuff that's happening in these two episodes.
Yeah.
Because as unlikely as it is, these two have sort of become allies?
In a weird way. I mean, they're sort of like kindred spirits.
Science
in bros? In the name of science. Yeah, exactly. And I just find Whitney to be such a compelling villain because not only, did we see a little bit of her past and we sort of sympathized with her to a certain degree because I just keep thinking about how, her mother for her entire life was like, stop working on your brain, you need to work on your face.
Yeah.
And now to see her, like, being able to really embrace that, like, scientist side of herself is so awesome. So, like, you kind of feel good. At least I kind of feel good for her, like, from that point of view.
For her, it's being open about that side of herself with somebody else.
Yeah.
Anytime she is doing the whole science thing, it's always on her own room, like, taking notes and having to be duplicitous.
Right, but in Dr. Wilkes, she has someone who is on her level. And so I feel like it's been really interesting to just see her sort of be so crazy open about, like, how brilliant she is with Dr. Wilkes.
Yeah.
I'd also like to say on the flip side of that, Wilkes is a really interesting character.
Yeah.
Like, more interesting than he's ever been, and I've always liked him. But now it's like, we want to like this guy, but he admitted he was not being corrupted by anything. He was acting out of his own self-interest. Mm-hmm. He would have killed Peggy if she did not, if Susan did not say where the radio or the gamma or the uranium was.
Yeah.
There's a lot of science terms.
I was going to say, though, just to speak to that scene for a second, to be fair, he made a very smart choice because he really didn't want to kill Peggy to bring Sousa into it because he knew Sousa would never let him shoot her.
Exactly. He's like, shoot. She called my bluff. I'm not going to shoot her. Sousa.
I think he would have. I think he definitely would have shot her. He's acting out of his own interest.
Yeah.
I think he is definitely not as clear a good person as we thought he was.
Oh, no, he's definitely done some bad. I still don't think he would have shot her, though. I think that he would have just hopped on out of the car a little earlier the second he knew it wasn't going to work.
No, I'm with Jesse. Yeah.
We're divided on this table.
The table divides us.
I don't think he would have, and I think it would have, if he did, I don't think it would have sat with the way that they built the character. Not that he, like, couldn't get there.
Yeah, not that he's not capable of doing bad things.
Not, but at this point in his story, it would have rung not true to me.
Well, and a little while later,
I think it was deserved. Like, him talking about not feeling like a human anymore. And, like, feeling like he's stuck in this cage. Like, it seems like he was desperate to be come back to humanity and would do anything he could to get back.
Yeah,
I'm gonna counter that in a moment.
Kind of feeling inhuman right now.
I don't know whether to boo or
so
cheer
to
that.
But he's no longer a man, so he's an X-Man.
You're not allowed to say
X-Man. EX.
But I'm going to counter what you said about him pulling the trigger, because later on, Whitney Frost has him strapped to a table and is actively torturing him And he could stop it if he wanted to, but he still doesn't, and he refuses to because, quote-unquote, it will kill her. He's still trying to do the right thing, even after that moment where he, quote-unquote, would have pulled the trigger.
I think it was more like he was afraid of her getting the power.
They're basically saying that I'm wrong about him not pulling the trigger because he wasn't willing to try.
What you're saying that he was willing to kill Peggy in order to basically go with Whitney to get all this done in order to stop Whitney by taking this all himself.
He didn't know he was going to take it all himself.
Okay, well, see, I can see that as a plausible motivation for him, but to what we've seen of this character so far, he doesn't seem selfish enough to take her out for his own self-interest. If he's being driven by the dark matter in some way, and he's not even aware of it, I could see that too, but I don't see the character that we've known as Jason Wilkes doing something that selfish to actually kill someone that he cares about for more power.
For life. Like, he's holding on to his life. And I think what we've seen, and he said by his own, like, he said he was not being corrupted and that he would have pulled the trigger.
Yeah. But we've seen plenty of characters that don't think they're being corrupted when they are, especially on shows like S.H.I.E.L.D.
and
Carter.
I actually, and also we've seen plenty of people who said they would when they really wouldn't.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think he was being corrupted by the Dark Force. I do believe that he was legitimately acting of his own accord.
I was going to say to your guys' point about like the whole. I lost it. Dang it!
Regardless of whether he would or wouldn't, I think his character was opened up quite a bit more.
I agree.
For him to even turn on them in the first place and put a gun against someone's head. I don't think you put a gun on someone unless you intend to pull the trigger. Number two, I think that just the act of doing that makes his character much deeper and more interesting. That this guy is not. This, like, we've been wanting him to be this love interest for Peggy. We've been wanting him to be this good guy. We don't really know this guy except through the guise of him wanting to help Peggy, making her some sweet wine, sweet science wine, and then getting blown out of reality. Yeah. And, like, trying to come back. And I think opening that makes him a really interesting character. I don't know if he's going to be a martyr. I don't know what his future is, but I think Wilkes opened up. I want him to become Blue Marvel, honestly. But that remains to be seen. Regardless, I think this episode in particular really made Whitney and Wilkes like even more solid as like a really interesting duo together. Mm-hmm. Like they had a very interesting like science buddies vibe.
All in the name of science.
And I mean, just to see, you know, sort of Whitney pointing out that varying point of view, which is always sort of the issue in these types of stories where it's like, okay, so you're this person who has come into this incredible power that normal humans don't have, and it's like, you know, Whitney sees it as like, this is a blessing, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me, and Wilkes is like, I just want to be a normal dude again.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it just brings up that timeless debate.
I mean, just the fact that we're having this extended of a conversation about Wilkes is more than we've had all season.
He became infinitely more fascinating in this episode to me.
Yeah, because he's not just like this, shucks scientist who's going to do the good thing, and he's in love with Peggy.
He's got some ulterior motives.
I will say that when you hit that point in this episode, it's always both like a little bit semi-gratifying but also disappointing. When like previous episodes ago, like we're talking like beginning of the season, we're like, I don't trust this guy. He could be working for the bad guys, or he's gonna turn on them, and then there's a moment when they do, and like there's part of you that even when you didn't want it or had stopped believing it, you were like, I knew it. I knew he was gonna turn on them, even if like the previous week you were like, I don't think it'll do that, but because it was in the back of your head at the beginning of the season, you're like, I was right all along.
Yeah.
Okay, now I can hear you guys. All right.
I'll take my hat off to you, Zach.
No, don't clap. Don't clap for that.
But the other big thing that they've talked about in this, in these episodes, between Whitney and Wilkes, is the voice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The voice.
The reality TV show with Christina,
hosted by Carson Daly.
On NBC.
Do you hear it? Yeah. If you listen, Whitney keeps saying, "If you listen, it will guide you."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're never treated to what it is they're hearing.
Yeah.
So the show is intentionally holding back that information from us. I'm not sure what to think of it. Like, dark matter, as far as we've learned about it, is what makes up another universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as antimatter in the real world.
Right,
like,
right.
It's this thing that, like, doesn't quite apply, like, regular physics as we understood them doesn't quite apply to it. And it's sort of shifted its way into our dimension via these tears.
That can be opened with nuclear explosions.
Or when Dr. Wilkes goes into a weird trance, like he's on LSD.
Yeah.
But so, what do you guys think that they are hearing a voice as a result of the dark matter, or do you think that there is actually a conscious being on the other side?
I'm inclined, not to reference Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too much, but given what, like, a lot of the basis for this past season was, or at least the first half of this past season, I'm inclined to believe that there's a consciousness on the other side, although it could be that the dark matter itself is a consciousness.
That was exactly what I was going to say.
I assume that the reason Wilkes heard the voice and not her was because she was giving him dark matter or dark force, right?
Dark force, zero matter, it's all the same.
She was giving him dark force.
Was I saying dark matter?
Yeah. It's okay.
I mixed them up too, it's fine.
Sorry, guys.
I had a moment too, don't worry about it. But she's been giving him dark force to keep him solid, to keep him stable in this reality.
Right.
And it's also nice too that once he starts hearing it, because we've assumed... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, except Wilkes, before she was given in, like, episode 3, was like, I keep hearing, like, this calling.
Right,
and
right.
He's like, I keep fading away, and something's calling for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I assumed that was more of a feeling as opposed to Whitney Frost having a conversation with an unseen thing in the corner in a different episode.
That language seems super specific.
Yeah, because, I mean, what we sort of saw previously based on that conversation of, like, oh, there's something calling to me, is that it seems that, and I think I said it on the episode, that, like, the dark force is maybe sort of like the Borg, where, like, everybody is just, like, all kind of a single consciousness. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options here. People in the chat role are talking about the fact that Doctor Strange is tied to the Dark Force.
Right.
Yeah. He is, only in that the showrunners have sort of told us that he is. He in the comics, he mentions it.
And he manipulates it sometimes.
Yeah, and as we've talked about before, I checked in with Matt Key, our resident Doctor Strange expert. here at the AfterBuzz Network and Popcorn Talk family. And he confirmed that, like, Doctor Strange and the Dark Force are not, like, deeply intertwined.
Right.
But it is, like, another dimension, which is what he sort of frequents, is interdimensional travel.
Yeah.
So the voice, I mean, maybe this is sort of bending, combining different, like, dimensions and planes that Doctor Strange accesses. So, like, I don't know how much they really want to start teasing this early, but I could see this, like, being some super early, like, mention of, like, a Dormammu-type being.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what I
not
thinking.
Dormammu himself, because that's a really weird place. Dropping on Agent Carter is, like, a really weird place to introduce that.
That's true.
But
Dormammu's the guy that, like, the interdimensional being that's, like, made of fire, right?
His head is on fire.
He's
a big demon.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that name since I watched the 90s Spider-Man.
But if they don't, And the only problem with that, like, the part of me that loves crossover and the idea of it's all connected loves that idea.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to have to pay that off within Agent Carter, at least in some way. And that's too far out to, like, drop and then just not talk about for 2 years.
Well, the reason why I mentioned Blue Marvel and Wilkes is because I was thinking maybe the Dark Force is kind of the MCU version of the Negative Zone. Which is a property that they've used with the Fantastic Four, so Marvel can't use it in the MCU.
Yeah, the Negative Zone is very tied to the Fantastic Four.
But Blue Marvel got his powers by getting sucked into the Negative Zone and then coming out through a science experiment. So I was thinking maybe if it's like their version of the Negative Zone, where it's all this power and like the negative version of our universe, and that's what's calling them and that's what's empowering them. Like, the Negative Zone itself has, like, almost a character in itself. So, like, I can kind of see that happening with this Dark Force if this is the MCU version of it.
Yeah, I could see that. That could definitely be an interesting way to do it. I mean, I would be very curious to see what is on the other side.
A bug. Like a big bug.
Just like a giant fly.
Like Starship Troopers bug?
But that's what inhabits the Negative Zone, right?
Yeah.
It's like a weird bug bugs. Race.
Yeah. The Annihilation wave. Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting into some weird deep stuff there.
I mean, I do like Starship Troopers.
That's like a fun movie.
Great movie.
What'll be interesting to see in terms of that is what they do going forward. I would love if they brought this into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And continue to utilize what's going on with Agent Carter in those worlds, regardless of whether or not Agent Carter's going to get picked up. I don't want this stuff to get to lie around, and I would love for these two to more directly tie into each other.
Yeah.
All right, so lots to cover. We talked a little bit about Jarvis and Anna. But I want to talk about Jarvis and Peggy.
Oh man. It was... I mean, she was the one who sort of, like, called him out, basically, on the fact that, you know, he's, like, living in another man's house, and he goes home at the end of the day and pretends, like, he's not... Like, pretends that he's, like, not working for the SSR in any capacity.
Well, and, like, in some cases, not actively working against the U.S. government.
Yeah, exactly. And,
like, you know, helping to exonerate, you know, a traitor at one point.
Right,
all sorts of other not lawful things that he's doing.
Yeah.
Well, in one of, like, the heaviest, like, sequences this show at all. Because, like, death on TV can be cheap. And, like, anything that this show deals with, like, even big, like, wide, like, massacres can feel cheap. But it really, like, it was, like, intense to hear Peggy, like, reel into him. Like, these are adventures to you. No, basically, she didn't even say this, but what she's implying, like, this isn't adventures. This is war.
Yeah.
This is not a fun thing. This is life and death. I do this not because, like, I don't want to sit around my couch on Saturday. I do this because I don't have a choice.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this all came out of, you know, Jarvis basically being like, I'm going to drive you guys to go meet at these coordinates that Whitney Frost is going to be rendezvousing with Vernon at. And so it basically, I'm totally drawing a blank on the scientist, the other scientist guy, Aloysius.
Oh, Aloysius Samberly.
That basically Samberly has to stay behind because he's going to work on this gamma cannon, and then they go and basically, like, Jarvis goes into this mission with the intention of killing Whitney Frost, even if it costs him his own life. And so this whole conversation comes out of Jarvis, like, blindly charging ahead and shooting Whitney Frost in the chest.
Yeah, he just iced her.
In the throat. Yeah. Yes.
Like, whoa!
Yeah.
Jarvis!
Yep.
Cold-blooded.
Yep.
But at the same time, we know more about, you know, dramatic irony going on. We know more than Peggy Carter does. So to Peggy Carter, he completely overreacted because his wife is going to live.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine. He doesn't really fully understand what, like, true loss is from her point of view because she doesn't know the whole truth.
Right.
Also, Peggy Carter is a soldier.
Yeah.
Like, she knows what it means to take someone's life.
Yes.
And when it's appropriate and when it's not. Like, I think that was part of that huge argument, and it's a thing that it's nice to be reminded every once in a while.
It's a major theme of these episodes especially, because Jarvis taking her, attempting to take her life,
right,
it was a big deal. And then by the end of the second episode, by the end of A Little Song and Dance.
Yes.
I was like, which one was the first one?
Badge of Mystery.
By the end of the second episode, yeah, we were dealing with that again of like, when is it justified to kill?
Yeah.
Like, how many innocent people do you need to sacrifice,
mm-hmm,
or how many people's lives do you need to save to make sacrificing an innocent man
worth it?
And, like, what does that mean? When is it okay to kill in a war? And it's an impossible question to answer with 100% accuracy.
But listen, according to Samberley, it's okay to kill Dr. Wilkes because he's evil now.
Yeah.
Which is such a good summary of, like, When you go to war, you have to paint them as evil.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it gets very complicated and killing becomes
less
black
and white. He's not a person. He's a mustache twirly villain. It's fine.
And for Thompson, I mean, you have to give him a little bit of credit. He is coming off of a war that was very black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, it's easy to look at World War II as like the good guys and the
bad
guys. Bad
guys, yeah.
These, like,
in Europe, in the Pacific, less so.
Yes. I'm mainly referring to the Nazis.
specifically.
Which is where we know. Well, actually, Thompson was stationed in the Pacific.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
But because of the ties to the Nazis,
there was
a division.
It was a very black war.
Yeah, but what you're dealing with now is a situation that is not black and white.
No.
And, like, each person is dealing with it from their own perspective and their own what they have learned and what they've brought to it.
Yeah.
Thompson, what is his main experience? He killed without thinking and was rewarded for it. Like, he may regret that, and we've gone into that in last season. But he still, like, for whatever psychological stuff is going on in him, he knows that if he does the acts on instinct and kills people and asks questions later, the good things will come of it.
Yeah, every time Thompson's done something morally questionable, he's been rewarded for it.
That is true.
I will say, though, he's not charging into this blindly. There is a lot of thought and, like, really legitimately impressive strategy going into his plan.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, in some ways, it's like, you almost, and again, it goes back to that, like, how many people, you know, how many innocents, how many people do you have to save to make it worth sacrificing quote-unquote innocence? Mm-hmm. Because basically, ultimately, Thompson's plan is to turn the gamma cannon
into a
bomb.
Yeah, that thing. It's already a gun.
Which would kill everybody that was in that building. Now, from Peggy's perspective, it's wrong because you're going to kill Dr. Wilkes, and she's still convinced that he's totally innocent. But you sort of see Thompson's point of view, given his background.
Well, and Thompson's a soldier.
Yeah.
Wilkes put a gun on someone that was on his side and surrendered themselves to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to a soldier, that makes Wilkes an enemy combatant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's a justification in that. Like, this guy is, he acted aggressively towards them, like, where he could have easily taken one of their lives. He is now in control of some kind of death bomb that, like, only he even begins to understand.
Yep.
They don't know what they can do except to set off this bomb to control it. This guy has far too much power, and, like, seeing that he was willing to potentially kill someone not 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
I don't want to be... I don't feel like I am totally against Thompson's decision
here. I agree.
I actually feel like... And, like, we got... I got a tweet from John Gittins, who said, I think Peggy is being selfish and stupid. Thompson's plan was the best.
I wouldn't call her stupid in any scenario.
Me neither, but
at the end, I think not that she overall is stupid, but the decision right there to not go through with setting off the camera.
I think this lies in the dispassionate conversation.
Yeah.
Where I don't think Peggy Carter ever acts in dispassion. Yeah. I think the thing that makes her so effective is also the thing that makes her maybe strategically not always the best option,
mm-hmm.
which is she is always passionate.
Yeah.
And she is always considering the cost.
Yeah.
And she is always worried about what that cost is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is an example of Peggy not being dispassionate. Maybe being dispassionate is strategically the best way, but having a record of dispassion means you miss the point of why you're saving people in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I will say moral... unless you want to finish your thought,
No, that was it.
The moral choices and the moral ambiguity of this decision and the strategy aside, we're operating under the assumption that the bomb will actually fix the problem. Mm. A bomb going off could in fact have an adverse effect on the dark force that's there.
Yeah,
and could cause another black hole. I was going to say,
and we already saw that. Okay, so like Wilkes basically got like sucked into the dark force, and then when they shot him with the gamma rays, like he didn't get left behind. He like, for all we know, he absorbed a whole bunch of gamma rays. Yeah. So,
and it's not just any bomb. It's a gamma bomb.
Yeah.
In the Marvel Universe, we know, just play with gamma radiation and nothing big and green ripping your purple pants
There's
will
absolutely
ever happen.
Nothing dangerous about a gamma bomb.
Yeah. Good things, right? Only good things.
Yeah. In the MCU, they've used gamma as part of attempting to replicate
the super soldier
mm-hmm. serum. That's how the MCU Bruce Banner gets his
powers.
Is it a condition? Yeah, he would call it a condition. It's a cool thing. Like, if you're gonna have radiation in the Marvel Universe, it might as well be gamma.
I do love that, like, old-timey ways of getting superpowers was always had to do with some sort of radiation. Nowadays, it seems to be, like, genetic manipulation is, like, the go-to thing.
There's a version of, like, Avengers Academy where they're talking about how... like, all of the failed experiments, all of the alien crash landings, all of the gamma bombs, all of the mutations, all just seem to happen in the United States. and nowhere else in the world.
Like, this is not evenly spread.
And why superheroes are an American issue, and that Americans have a superhero army is really scary for the rest of the world. Read Avengers Academy. It's older, but it's good.
There's a lot going on, and the gamma bomb is just this big set piece, and the biggest piece of it is this idea that they're going to use it and Vernon to sway the tide. For 90% of these episodes, we legitimately don't know who Thompson is playing.
No, seriously.
Triple cross.
Yeah, because I was really happy.
Was it triple? Quadruple?
I don't know.
It's hard to keep track.
Because I was so happy when he made the choice to stop Vernon from getting the uranium rods to bring to Whitney. Like, he legitimately tried to stop him, but then he got his memory wiped. But I don't know what he would have done with once he got his hands on them, because he got these files on Peggy, and he was gonna, which is basically what Vernon asked him to do, and then he was like, you know, and again, it goes back to that whole dispassionate thing of, like, Peggy always, like, Peggy is a compassionate person. Like, that is a huge huge part of her personality. And so basically Thompson is saying to Vernon, like, you know, this is what the file says, but I don't really believe whatever it says in this file is 100% true about Peggy Carter because I know her. And so it was cool to be like, oh, he's still totally on their side. And then when they go on the mission to go meet up with them, and then, you know, they bring the Gamma Cannon along, and, you know, both he and Sousa are like, do whatever Peggy says, she's always right. But then,
to as Peggy says.
Yeah. I don't know what.
But then too.
Well, here's. I'm sorry, Megan, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, and then again, because at the beginning of these two episodes, he seemingly is very weak-willed because he's being manipulated by Vernon. And then it's like a two-sentence conversation with Peggy makes him go, oh, I know I'm doing the wrong thing. And then he's going back and forth on it. But the second he gets his memory wiped, and from that moment forward, he's very much like I'm not getting pushed around anymore. I'm not getting manipulated anymore for the rest of this episode. And then smart on him, again, strategy-wise, forward thinking for once in his life, to leave Peggy out of that particular loop in the conversation or in his plan because she would object to Wilkes getting killed in this scenario.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, here's my question for you guys. What do you think it is that Agent Thompson wants? Because that's what I'm having trouble putting my finger on.
I know.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what it is that he is, who he's actually betraying versus whose side is he on. And the question that I come back to is, what does Jack Thompson want?
Well, everyone in the chat's comparing him to Ward, like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I think similarly to Ward, I think he wants to be a hero. Mm-hmm. I think he's gotten glory for not doing things the right way, for being a coward. And I think he wants to be a hero. And I think the idea of having someone like Peggy Carter do his work for him and save him drives him crazy. Like, he can't stand that is what's happening. He wants to be the guy that saves. He doesn't bring Carter in on that, not only because she would stop him, but then it would also be her plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about him. He saves the day. He blows them all up. No one gets hurt. And well, the three people that
quote unquote evil's punished.
Yeah. Evil is punished. All of the bad guys are gone, and he's the guy who saves the day.
I think what he wants is he wants for once for the quote unquote hard choice that he makes to actually be
matter.
The right one.
Yeah. And you know, so much of it too, I feel like Thompson's very like, okay, well, you have to do things. There's a right order to things that Peggy completely defies. And I think that he wants his idea of what is right and good to be the solution.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, I don't think Jack Thompson, like, the more we see of him, I don't think he's a bad guy.
No, I don't either.
We've been wanting to believe in him all season.
Yeah, he keeps coming. The more he seems to go bad, the more he comes back and seems like he's not that bad. He's being dealt some, like, hard-to-handle cards that, like, anybody could, like, find themselves with, like, a weird situation where it's like, yeah, when, like, the senator is coming in and saying, great job, and, like, basically giving you what you've been striving for, it's really hard to be like, nah, it wasn't me, it was totally this person.
Yep.
For sure. Regardless of who it is, whether it's a woman, whether it's a man, whether it's your brother, like, it doesn't matter. It's hard to pass on praise.
Yeah.
And it's something that Peggy does, and we love and respect her for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it any easier for everyone else.
No, and I think in some ways too that there is maybe a part of Thompson that like wants to be the hero so that he feels worthy of the past praise he's been given, which he knows is Peggy's to have, really. I think that it isn't so much that like he wants her out of the way as he wants to be worthy of her in some ways, I think.
Yeah, I mean, some people in the chat are saying, like, he wants power or he wants a seat on the council. I think that was a ruse. Like, he didn't want a seat on the council.
Yeah, I thought that was a ruse.
The first thing he did was after, like, she was going to give it to him, he clicked a button that he thought would have blown her up.
Yep.
Well, he wants to take down the council.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of agreeing on that. He just wants to be legitimate.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, that's it. Like, he wants to be the guy that saves the day.
Yep.
Much like Ward in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still thinks he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, still thinks that he's the guy that everyone used to think he was.
Yeah. Now, I want to keep going because we still have a lot. We still have a few things to cover, and we don't have a ton of time. So, I'm saving the best for us. We'll get to that.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Or just doing this and, you know, blasting the detonator or whatever, like, that gets him the SSR back, too. Because Vernon and his crew were the ones, like, pushing the SSR around. So in his mind, he's freeing the SSR as well.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's all I wanted to say.
Winner across the board.
Yeah.
So another big theme in this was that the stalemate, that these people all have dirt on each other.
Yeah.
Thompson went to London and supposedly got a redacted file on something that Peggy had done wrong.
Yeah.
Margaret Carter.
Yes.
In case there's anyone who was like, M. Carter.
Yes, her name is Margaret.
Margaret is her full name. I mean, do you guys... Peggy claims that it was a forgery, that it was fake, that it was so easy to get. I gotta be honest, I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
I don't... But again, I'm sort of in Thompson's corner that there's probably more to the story in this file, whatever it is, than the file plainly states. But then again, maybe the big reveal is that Thompson's wrong and Peggy does have some dirt in her past. I don't know.
Peggy was rolling with the Howling Commandos. I don't think they would kill all of the innocent. It said not a civilian was left alive. I don't think the Howling Commandos would massacre civilians.
I would agree with that.
I don't think Peggy would stand for it. If there is something like that, then it must have been like they were all werewolves.
No civilian was left alive. I mean,
they were all secretly Hydra.
Last season, we dealt with the canister that sent everyone into a rage. No civilians were left alive. And I don't think that this file was related to that, because obviously Thompson would have known what that was.
Right.
But, like, we don't know what the situation was. So there's a lot of extenuating circumstances we don't know of.
It could have been a Leviathan thing where, like, something, like, some crazy experiment went off and, killed all the civilians, and then they showed up and went, holy cow, what happened here?
However, I feel like the conversation Thompson had with Vernon almost confirms that it was not a real file. Where he says, just because something basically says, just because that's real doesn't mean it happened.
But this official document says that it did.
Yeah. This official document says that it's real, but that doesn't mean that it actually happened.
Mm-hmm. The truth and facts are two different things.
Yes.
This paper makes it a fact.
And I feel like Vernon planted that. I think Vernon spent these two episodes underestimating Thompson.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of his... Peggy was like, does that even sound like me? Like, that's not something I did. Obviously, it was a plant. Vernon wanted you to find it. How convenient, he sent you somewhere and you found exactly what you needed to find.
Well, that's fair. To me, that sounds like... That's just, like, real smart thinking. Like, real quick, just like... I know how to make you doubt this.
Well, no, for me, I mean, the council has its fingers in everything. We know how extent... They're the people that run the world. It would be so easy for Vernon Masters to send a call or a telegraph. However people communicated internationally.
But the whole thing was that Vernon ordered Thompson to discredit her.
Yeah.
But... If he was the one who faked the file, why would he send Thompson to England to get it?
Because that's how you get Thompson to believe it.
Well,
if you hand Thompson that file and Thompson isn't the one that who dug it up.
I know, like, that doesn't. But my only thing is, it doesn't seem like something that Vernon needs to waste time on. Is convinced Thompson's on at this point. At that point, Thompson's on his side.
Yeah,
he has no doubts. Thompson has shown so far up until that point, and like where we see him in this episode turn. Yeah. He had shown no doubts in Vernon. He had, like, there was no, I'm holding back on going after Peggy.
You're forgetting, though, Vernon knows that Peggy has something on Jack. And so if Peggy Carter doesn't have any dirt that they can leverage, then you have to artificially create that.
I don't know. I see what you guys are saying.
I think Vernon's conversation saying that just because something's true doesn't mean it happened, I think that pretty much confirms that whatever it was didn't happen.
Yeah, no, I think this is just, I mean, again, these are the guys that run the world. Interpersonal manipulation is just another day at the office.
I'm not saying that they couldn't. I'm just wondering, like, I think there's some questions that make me doubt that they did. And I'd be interested to see what was in the file to see how truthful it might be.
Yeah.
All right.
Just because it's truthful doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Wait. Listen, carry the one.
Just do the math.
But the truth is out there, guys. We know that.
It's a different show.
Yep.
All right. We got to talk about that amazing
my goodness.
Opening.
I feel like. On one of my after shows, I cannot remember if it was this one, I was like, yeah, musical episode. If it was this one, that's phenomenal.
I say that on every after show. Exactly.
I could not, like, we were all just, like, holding our heads, like, what?
Oh my god.
Ladies and gentlemen, world.
Megan Salinas could not sit down the entire opening of that. She was too busy standing and holding her face.
Like this. Like that.
Yeah, she was just like she is right now.
She was so full of joy.
I mean, we opened up in the black and white, and her brother's there, and she's like, someone's turned down the color.
Yes.
And she just walks into a set.
Yep. It was like American in Paris. Like, it was like that swinging door without a building. Yep. Like, it was so cool.
Yep. And she goes to the automat, and Angie's there. And
Angie.
So good.
Now, I love this scene, but it left me a little disappointed. Because I wanted Cap. I wanted Cap to know.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Their whole thing is like, save that dance for me. And she's singing a song about the two guys that she split between. We also now see where Peggy Carter pushes all of the melodrama. She pushes it to the back, and then every once in a while she gets unconscious and has elaborate dance sequences.
I like that that's how she works through her her internal agony.
Yeah. I mean, look, dancing for Peggy Carter after the events of Captain America has a whole other, like, psychological level to it.
Yes. It really does. And I thought, man, if we could have got Chris Evans just for a minute.
10 seconds.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Can Steve sing? If he can't sing, that is his number.
He would obviously be able to sing.
Yeah. I mean, I would even be satisfied
with... He's Captain America.
Yeah.
He can sing.
Yeah. I would even be satisfied with just...
That's true. He had a barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
Like a shield flying by or something like that.
Yeah.
For anyone who wasn't aware, this was actually like a weird like ABC crossover with Dancing with the Stars. Apparently a lot of
the backup dancers. Yeah.
Were Dancing
the
with
dancers,
the Stars.
The dancers, yeah.
It was cool. Lasertron is saying the dance proved that Peggy Carter no longer cares about Captain America. Cares is the wrong word.
Aww.
No longer needs him as much as she did. She has let him go in a positive way.
Yes, she has moved on.
I think
it also might prove that you can't get a movie character to play that same character on TV.
On TV.
That could mean a number of things.
That's not true. That's not true.
It's
Sif. On
okay, so
well,
you can
and
get
Peggy Carter did start.
Yeah.
Well, she started in the comics.
And Agent Coulson.
Any favorite moments from the dances? From the dance guys?
From the dance.
I think I'll kick it off. Mine was just when Haley sang.
Yeah,
it was. I melted. I had to recombobulate myself to get onto this panel.
I know what mine is. Mine is when Jarvis showed up with the flamingos.
That is mine as well.
Bernard watched.
We count four. Jarvis in a top hat with scantily clad flamingos was my favorite part for sure.
And if I'm not wrong, Anna was one of them. Like, she was the one that was doing the splits on the bottom in front of him.
I gotta say, as much as I love seeing Angie, and as great as it is to see Dottie, Angie, and Carter all in a scene together again, because we haven't seen that since season one, I gotta say, it was just the moment Sousa tossed away his cane and the number started. I was so like, good. It's happening, guys! So it's happening!
Also, there was a moment where it was like, Dottie, what are you doing here? She was like, because I'm the only one for you.
Yeah.
I thought that might happen.
I'm always in your head.
We're skipping into predictions, but I'm betting Dottie shows up in the next episode.
Oh, for sure. She has to.
She's on the loose. She's a menace to society.
Oh, man.
Any last thoughts on this episode, guys? I know we probably didn't get to everything, so I want, if you guys had anything else that you want to talk about, talk to us in the YouTube comments. We're going to go through, we got some news and some stuff just real quick to drop.
Last thoughts, Joe Manfredi got some really good characterization.
I know.
Yeah. He's so in love with Whitney Cross, but also real quick to violence.
super crazy, but I really am on board with how much he's in love with her and him, you know, that scene he has with her where he tells her that, like, her weird dark mark on her face is a point of pride because it's power.
Like, he, like, respects her.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. He respects her as a
woman and, like, is totally on board. And then he walks away.
She's a powerful woman, too.
Yeah, and who tries to and then he, like, walks away. Don't hold the door for me. I'm not a woman.
Yeah.
Like, he's this hilarious 40s guy. Like, perfect mobster. I love Ken Marino.
Yeah,
Ken Marino's amazing.
All right. Ken Marino is amazing.
I think with that, like I said, any other topics, and let's talk some news and gossip.
Okay.
TV news.
Some big shakeups at ABC that have huge, big potential to affect what is going on with not just Agent Carter, but all of Marvel on TV. The CEO is changing, and I can't say, we don't have enough time to go into
all of that,
everything about that, but just know, like, you guys can look up articles and stuff to find out about it, but the tide is changing, and the rumors that we are hearing from around the industry, the rumors are not good. I'm gonna be straight with you guys. The rumors that I'm hearing, like, none of these are official.
Of course.
But like, I'm hearing the word cancel being thrown around.
A friend of mine works at ABC, and she's been sending me news articles all week long, and she's very concerned that all of this means the end of Agent Carter. She doesn't know.
Of course.
And of course, no official press release has been issued or anything like that. There's no word on the matter, but everything, she's like, I'm really scared that this means that Agent Carter's gonna get canceled.
I mean, we don't know what's going on with that. Some other brief news that got dropped. There was some brief news that some rumors that the Punisher series is not going ahead at Netflix. They are talking about, like, there's some stuff going on with that. We're going to get some new details about Marvel's Most Wanted very soon. I mean, but the thing is, with the new CEO, we don't know that that's a thing still. That's only been in the pilot stage. It has not been greenlit as a series yet.
I can't believe I forgot to mention this to you guys. I was talking with someone I know who works at Netflix, and the name Spider-Woman is getting bandied around. It would be Jessica Drew, or maybe not even Jessica Drew, like a different name.
That would be
since
tough.
Since Jessica Jones and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But the character of Spider-Woman is being thrown around.
I will say,
interesting.
IO9 has reported that Most Wanted is on.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's happening there. So, I mean, hedge all your bets. But we'll see what happens. Stay tuned, guys. By next week, I expect we'll have some more news on this. But it, the only thing you can do now is to tweet at ABC, tweet at the Agent Carter Twitter account, like send your fan mail, guys. Yeah. Like that's the only thing that you can really do to keep pushing the show, to keep it around, because otherwise I don't know that they're going to keep it around for a third season.
And would this, if it does get canned, would that mean that this is the first property from the MCU that has gotten the kibosh?
Technically...
Blade the series?
like, technically, I guess, yes. But Agent Carter was only supposed to get one season, so even this was a bonus year.
That's true.
So just remember that, guys. We were never supposed to get a second one.
That's true.
Never gotten that magical musical number.
Yeah, we wouldn't have. No. With that, let's do some quick predictions before we get out of here.
And now,
we're already over our time slot. Thank you, James.
Sorry.
Our wonderful engineer. Now I'm just thinking about Spider-Woman. Alright, so next week it looks like it's gonna be nuts.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking?
Everything explodes.
Yeah. I think that...
I mean, we didn't talk about the ending of this...
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean...
Wilkes
blew up. Yeah. It looks like Whitney's gonna get all the power and go on a rampage and everyone's gonna team up against her. So I really hope that Thompson and Peggy get to work together in some capacity so that, like... Because I think Thompson has good intentions. I've been saying this every week.
Whitney Frost is on the loose.
Yeah.
So we just from the previews that she made it out of there, the explosion. I mean, we see her heal from gunshots.
That's like, true, yeah.
I imagine a dark matter explosion near her would only make her more powerful.
Yep.
And potentially more insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and especially if, like, people are actively trying to kill her, and, yeah, she gets a huge power boost. I still think that this season is going to end with her imploding into a black hole. Like, honestly, I think that even if they manage to fix the gamma cannon and try to use it on her, I still don't necessarily think that's going to stop her, or it's going to cause a black hole implosion.
Mm.
Okay, here's the scene. Whitney Frost has gotten this dark force power. She's unstable. They've tried to stop her. She realizes that even she can't stop herself. She's exploding. It's about to take out all of Los Angeles. A flutter of pink happens. Burner absorbs the power and flies off into the Pacific Ocean and saves the world.
And then ends up in Paris.
Yes. And then ends up
months
in Paris.
Later with the love of his life. As Jarvis the butler looks on. But I will say that, like, it would be, I think just story structure wise, it would be very, and character arc wise, it would be really fitting to see her destroyed by the power that she
sought. Yeah, destroy herself. Yes. Yeah,
so
completely.
Ultimately, I think that's where we're going to be at the end of this season.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in lieu of my predictions, I want to use my time to give some shout-outs to iTunes.
All right.
You guys are so amazing. Thank you for rating and reviewing. Keep doing it. We have one more episode left, so one more chance for shout-outs. And next week, we're going to tell you how you can win some limited edition Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. / Agent Carter posters that we have lying around.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be here next week to find out how. So tune in live at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Lucevuge, Zero, seriously, stop with the AC, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comparison. Great panel for a marvelous show. I like the positive way they approach each episode. We're not going to stop talking about
AC. No.
It's a great show. Thank you for watching. But, like, I mean, these are companion shows.
Yeah, they all go together. Yeah.
The Lonely Wakandan.
Says,
great after show. Hey, guys, great show. This might be a crazy theory, but what if Jack Thompson turns out to be Flash Thompson's grandfather?
That makes
too much sense. That's
actually really
that's
fitting.
Legit.
Opening the door for him joining S.H.I.E.L.D. and becoming Agent Venom.
If
be
we get
still
Agent,
my beating heart.
If we get Agent Venom, I will run through a window.
I will run through the window next to it, forming two perfect silhouettes in the glass. And lastly, Mama Little Seven says, Little best Seven. Podcast Mama. Besides Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mama.
Can't believe the season is over already and by so quick. Well, it's not over. We have not one quite. More episode, episode, Mama Little. Calm down. you guys make my hour drive to work a joy. Aww. Time to head back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and comment.
Aww.
The Shexter. thank you guys so much for joining us for the Agent Carter After Show. We'll be back next week for the finale of Agent Carter Season 2. Keep tweeting at us. We want to know all your thoughts. Comment below. Tell us, tweet at us throughout the week, throughout the show. Follow all of us in one convenient place. You can follow all of AfterBuzz TV Marvel at ABTV Marvel. It's real simple, real fluid. You can follow us. You can find the stuff for Agent Carter, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Jessica Jones, Daredevil, which is coming back soon.
Daredevil.
We're going to have stuff about that coming soon. Stay tuned for announcements about that podcast. So, ABTV Marvel on Twitter. Until next week, Jesse Klein, where can they find you?
Guys, next week I'm going to be in my hometown, Portland, Oregon, so I won't be here. I will be active on the live chat. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show. I love talking with you guys in the chat. I love reading all your stuff on YouTube. You can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
And I'm Emma Fife. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Emma Fife. And if you follow me there, you'll know everything I'm doing.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. And follow me on Twitter, you'll find me.
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all those places at ThatZachWilson. That's ThatZachWilson. I can spell. And here at AfterBuzz on a whole bunch of shows and occasionally on Marvel Movie News as the voice of Doom. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Zach Wilson. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.